Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
All righty, Kansas City, welcome to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bohl, and we are on Wednesday. Yeah, I know it's a Wednesday. But the NBA draft is tomorrow. The NBA draft is tomorrow, so 8:10 will be going wall-to-wall with the NBA draft. We're a couple Kansas guys,
couple
Frank.
Local kids, yeah. Ochai Agbaji is supposed to go top 15, might get in the lottery, and then Christian Braun maybe in the second round, but both players are going to be in New York for that. Braun's going, I think Agbaji's been invited to like the green room type thing.
Yeah.
Braun is just going with his family just to be getting the atmosphere and be there when it happens when he hears his name called on.
Sure.
Which I think is great. I think it's wonderful. I mean, I'm never going to happen again.
No, absolutely not.
You know?
And
you get this one-shot deal as you go along. So I think it's great. Great for those local kids to be doing this. They both are national champions with University of Kansas. And it's great. Good for them.
Frank, I want you to plug and talk a little bit about our Father's Day deal. That was awesome.
That was really
I had
great,
a lot of people come up to me and say it was a great experience for them. Talk to everybody about what we did.
Yeah, we were at Borgmont Vineyard, of course, out there at 199th in Quivira. If you have not been, go. If your wife loves the wine or if you guys like wine, whatever, they have... Their wines are terrific. People rave about them all the time. They don't do a whole lot of advertising, and they just are sort of there. And it's been word of mouth, and the place is just getting more and more popular all the time. I think it's the closest winery to Overland Park.
Hmm.
So it's very, very close. It's like 203rd in Quivira. We say 199th. Go 199th Quivira. Go south for about just about a half a mile, and it's right there on the left-hand side. And it's
beautiful
up on the hill, and it's
place.
Great. Yeah, it's a beautiful place. It's a big venue. There's a big home on there, a 10,000 square foot home. And then they have two old horse show barns. One's being renovated into an event space that's going to have three different pubs in it. And they're going to have a greenhouse in there as well. And then they have a big room, reception room, and whole deal. And they have just plain wine tasting on Wednesday through Sunday out there. So look it up. It's Borgmont, B-O-U-R-G-M-O-N-T.
And you and I.
So we had a Father's Day event out there, and they had a food truck. Food was terrific. Kids brought their dads. Wives brought their husbands. Jamie Bloomer brought his dad. Timmy was out there with his mom and with Sarah. And we just sat down. We really started talking about Father's Day and what fathers meant to all of us. And Timmy and Jamie, of course, Timmy lost his father when he was young. Jamie's dad was there,
which was
just terrific. And then just talking about, dads and what they mean to their kids and how much they mean. It wasn't really a thing about, the current Chiefs or the current Royals or anything like that. We did get into a few question and answers at the end, but there's about 150 people. And again, they don't advertise big. They just sent everything out and just told everybody word of mouth, and that's how many people showed up. And it was just, we had a terrific time. It was great.
Yeah, and I've told you this before, Frank, is like a father to me and has been for a long, long time. And glad to spend Father's Day with you. That was special
wonderful.
To me.
Yeah.
And, thank you so much for all you've done for me in my life. And
plus, you guys took time out on Father's Day. You have four children.
Yeah, they run around there. Doing
yeah, they go, hey, Dad, every day's Father's
every day's
Day with
Father's
you, Dad.
Every day's Father's Day, Dad.
So, kids are beautiful. Yes,
oh,
little
boy. Oh, my gosh. Well, it was a great time.
It was. It was really a good
and
time.
We drew a name, and we won the book contest.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So
yeah.
that was great. And, of course, a view from the center. Go to timgrunhardt.com if you're looking for a present for somebody. We sold a bunch before Father's Day. And the book's not coming out until September. The Triumph, the publisher, is holding it for the football season to start.
That makes sense.
Which makes sense. But, a lot of people have pre-ordered it, and they keep saying, hey, where's our book? Where's our book? Where's our book? Well, you're going to get it. And when you get it, I hope you enjoy it. I think you will. There's a lot of great stories in there. And just so blessed. So blessed to be part of the Kansas City Chiefs family and the Kansas City family and the Bowl family and the Grunhardt family. Just a lot of great,
Hall
great
of Fame
people.
Family.
Hall of Fame family also. And, of course, the CBD America Shaman family.
Can't forget our buddies.
Yes.
No.
And we want to thank our great sponsor, CBD American Shaman. All kinds of great products, 30% off right now at all stores all around town. And as you know, this time of the year, gosh, I just got done you know, getting fitted for a 3-wood and a 5-wood, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm sore. I will be slathering
they just,
on.
They just throw the ball down, hit another one, hit another one, hit another one,
oh my,
hit another one.
For like 45 minutes, I was hitting ball after ball after ball.
I know.
And you know, when you're done, I got a little sweat going. I had my second shingle shot yesterday.
Oh, you did?
And,
oh, good for you.
And I'll tell you, it is sore. So I mean, I think
you
didn't
do it in your right arm, did you? With
I
your
did.
Right hand.
Well, because
you do that
well
for?
Because when I golf,
oh good,
my left
Lord.
Arm is you know the left
you
arm is the
God.
Power arm. His right arm is just kind of sitting there. I think my whole life now is cutting grass
and playing golf,
chasing Sarah around and playing golf. That's about it. That's all I do. But I want to thank our great friends from CBD America Shaman. And don't forget, guys, they have this new product that's going to come on. I know right now everybody's feeling pretty good. It's nice weather, but the fall's coming around, and then all of a sudden flu season will be here. So start building up your immunity. And who knows if COVID's going to rear its ugly head with another strain. And I'm not saying that this stuff is going to stop COVID, but it's going to help your immune system to build
We've
up.
We've had flu every year since the beginning of time.
Absolutely.
Some sort of flu.
Right.
Okay, so.
So
build up your immune system now.
Build
it
up.
Done.
Build it up. And they have all kinds of great products in there for your immune system. And, of course, for your puppy dogs and and your horses.
Had if you storms have horses. Again.
Storms again. And our dogs last night slept right through it. I mean, I'm telling you, this stuff is a miracle worker for my dogs. I am so thankful. I love it for me. I really do because
you
I
take
love
the dogs. Stuff?
Yeah, of course. I should try that for my anxiety.
Hey, I'll tell you what I'm doing now. And it's serious. I take the gummies at night. I take the gummy. At night.
Oh, I take it. I take Delta 8 every night to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Every night.
See, I'm not using a Delta 8. I'm using the other gummies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's awesome stuff. So go over there and check it out, guys. I'm telling you.
And ask them and tell them what your problem is, and they'll tell you what you to give you a sample. And
I do want make an announcement that a good buddy of mine, a guy that I played football against in college, he was at Pittsburgh, and I was at Notre Dame. We played against each other 4 years. Tony Siragusa passed away today. A really good friend of mine, a very, very special guy, really, really nice guy, great personality, just always always in a good mood, always fun to be around. We played together in the Hula Bowl in Hawaii, and we became really good friends there. We actually were roommates there, and we did some trading. I had my Pittsburgh stuff. I gave him my Notre Dame stuff, and it, you know, so we traded that out, and then we played against each other all the way through in the NFL with the Colts, when he was with the Colts, and then with
Ravens.
The Ravens, and you know, really good guy. And I will say this, I'm not sure exactly how Tony passed, but you know, it's a shame. It really is, and I'm not sure if it's something with playing the game of football that some of these guys were still, we've lost about 3 or 4 guys recently, which is just crazy. Whether it's weight, you know, weight is hard when guys are done playing. And I just tweeted something out. I said, listen, try to eat right, try to work out, try to limit your alcohol consumption. I am so blessed that I was able to stop drinking 2 years ago yesterday. And I have not had a drink since then. And I'm not saying that that was an alcoholic, but I just wasn't doing very good anymore. And I knew that if I was heading to a point where maybe I was the next guy that would, you know, 55 or 54 years old to pass away. And I just didn't want that. You know, you want to be around. You want to see your kids. One of the things that breaks my heart, Frank, and you know this, is that my father never saw me get married.
I know.
You know, my father died of cancer, which is a whole different thing, but he never saw me get married, never saw my kids, you know, was never there to enjoy his grandchildren. And I don't want that to happen.
Well,
for me.
See, here's a big deal for me. And I know you guys, because, you know, when we did this show earlier, we did the original Crunch Time, Billy Moss was, he was always worried about the situation, and I know you were too. Mm-hmm. You all are, because the average life, the expectancy of an NFL player is just like, about where Tony Siragusa died, 54, 55 years old. So a lot of guys, you know, they get so big during their NFL careers, they just can't get back down.
Right.
And that's the one thing you've really taken to heart. And I think Sarah has been a prime you know, Energizer Bunny behind you to keep you going and keep you out there and make sure you're eating right and doing your exercise and doing all that stuff. But you've cut all kinds of weight. I mean, you're at least
I'm 50 or 60, 60 pounds? 70 pounds lighter than
lighter
I was
than
when
you were
doing
in the
crunch
NFL.
Time last time.
Yeah, and it really, you know, when you're that big, I mean, your heart is working.
Your heart doesn't get any, you know, your heart is your heart.
Yeah,
and
right.
If you're big and you're straining it, it's not like it's a muscle. By the way, the bigger the heart gets, the worse it is.
Yeah.
You don't want to build up your heart like you want to build up a bicep. So, yeah, so that is something we always were concerned about. And, I will say this. You know, one of the things that you know, I found is I was working out hard. I work out at Results here with Dave Sloshman, a great guy, right over here at 133rd and Metcalf, and I've been with him now for 20 years. But Frank, I would work out all week long, and then on the weekends, you know, be drinking beer and
doing that,
and then next thing you know, you look and you're
dissipating.
Yeah, you're back at the weight you were at.
That's right.
I mean, all week.
And you're wondering, why can't I lose weight?
Yeah. Because, you know, and then the week I saw
alcohol's a killer.
On Friday morning, I'd be like, wow, that looks pretty good. And then Monday morning, I'd get back on the scale. I'd be like, holy cow, I'm back to where I was at when I started over. So that was a vicious cycle that I just couldn't get out of.
Yeah.
And I was glad I was able to get out of that, and that's helped. But Frank, you know, 75 years old, and, you know, you climb mountains walking all the time. So what's your secret?
I've been doing that forever. I'm not hiking the mountains, but working out, you know, for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I always sort of did it. Sort of kept me, it you know, everybody says, oh, don't you get tired in your day? And I said, no, because it really builds your energy up.
I agree.
You know, when you work out. So I've been doing it for a long time. I discovered the biggest thing for me, in 2006, I climbed my first 14er. I'd been out in Colorado every year on vacation, all the years before that. And I'd look up there, you know, at the top. Like, you'd be in Breckenridge, you'd be in Vail, or you'd be in Estes Park or something, and you turn around and you look up, and there's still, you know, it's August, and there's snow on the mountain. And you go, wow, that's really awesome. I wonder if you can get up there. And I never really went any beyond that. I never, okay, fine. And then you go back to, you know, tubing down the Arkansas River or doing whatever the heck you're doing. Then in 2006, I went my first 14er, decided, well, I think I'll try one of these, and did my beer stat on the way up I-70 before you get to the tunnel. It's off the Georgetown exit. And got off there, went up. This is funny. Drove overnight, okay? Left work about, got home by midnight. Drove overnight. Got there about 8 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning. And went right up, started up.
That can't be good for
you. And I had no idea. I had no, the acclimatization, I didn't know anything, right? So I'm going, oh, this is great. I got to about 13,000 feet. I looked up and I said, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
So I crawled up about the last 500 vertical feet.
Wow.
You know, just slogging away.
So, I mean, what?
I got up there.
Just exhausted?
Oh, I was exhausted and I couldn't breathe. And I got up there and I stood up and I turned around and looked around and I just went, wow, this is beautiful. This is incredible. I got to find out how to do this better. So then I went down and started studying about stuff and about, you know, how to do
tell
it.
Tell these guys what happened to you in the parking lot. I love that story.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was up to Mount of the Holy Cross. This is, I think it was 2 years ago now. Mount of the Holy Cross. I tried Mount of the Holy Cross, at that time. So
what is that? And people don't know.
Mount of the Holy Cross is right outside of Vail.
Right.
Okay. And you can go down there. And it is basically, most people do it. You go to from the parking lot to a pass, right? You're climbing up. You're up to about 11,000 feet from about 10,000 feet. So you climb 1,000 feet to this pass. Then you drop 1,000 feet into this valley. There's a creek runs through it, okay? And then you have to climb from there the 4,000 feet, vertical feet up the other side, right? Most people go down. There's camping spaces in this little valley, right? Most people go. They'll come out of the parking lot, they'll go up over the first pass, go down the hill, then they'll stay there overnight. They'll bring their stuff, and they'll bring their tents.
But not you, of course.
I didn't know. Oh, not me. No, I'm an idiot. So so I climb up, and I climb down, go up, and then I go up the other side, right? I got top of there and wasn't sure I could make it back down, okay? Really hard climb. Came back down. Now when you get down to the valley again, now your last 1,000 feet, now you're going back up 1,000 feet, okay, after doing all that hiking. All right, so climb back up, get over the pass, get down to the parking lot, right? And I opened the back of my car, and I went to sit on my bumper to take my hiking boots off and fell down in the parking lot. And I just almost sat flat down on my rear end, just my feet, everything just gave out. And I was there. I wasn't out cold. I was not really all there, but I was pretty good. Some guy comes walking up and goes, you all right? And I said, I think so. He goes, you did it all one day, didn't you? he had his bed roll on his back. Yeah. So I knew, and I said, "You're not." He said, "No, you're an idiot." So I just then put my flip flops on, and it probably took me an hour to get out of the parking lot, just because I sat there for half hour. I got in my car, and then I had some chocolate milk, which is my favorite post exercise drink. Okay, ice cold. It was in the cooler, the whole deal. Oh, it was just, I mean, it's like heaven. So I had some of that, and I got behind the wheel of my car, and I sat there for another 10 minutes, rolled the windows down, and just no engine on, and just sat there for another 10 or 15 minutes. And I said, okay, I've got to go, because I had to drive back up to Leadville.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going back to Vail, which was right down the street. I was up at Leadville. So I had to drive back up to Leadville, and it was maybe a half hour or 45-minute drive. That's all it was.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was gone. I said, never again like that. So.
Yeah, that's probably like 2 days. Second practice, you're in full pads, and the first practice, you practice and you have a good hard morning, and then you go eat lunch, and you go and you go lay on your bed, and you take a little nap in the air conditioning, and then you step outside into the heat, and it's like hitting a wall of just misery. And you go in.
It feels like you're underwater.
Oh, you feel it does. And then you put those pads on again, and the pads are still a little bit wet from the sweat from the morning. And you put that helmet on again, and that helmet is just hard as a rock and heavy. And just all of a sudden, the sweat starts pouring off you again. And there's been many times where, after practice is over and you're just sludging your way back to the locker room just to sit down at your stool. And then you see guys that, for a half hour, 45 minutes are just sitting there. They can't move.
And then, of course, you're slugging back to the locker room. And then the media's going, Tim, Tim, wait a minute. Last thing you want to do is stand out there and talk to anybody.
And I will tell people, and I tried as much as I possibly could. And I did a pretty good job of it. But, all these kids wanted autographs after. And you're so exhausted that you're barely making it to the locker room, and these kids are, can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? And you're sweating, and you're like, oh my gosh, like just do it, just do it, just do as many as you can. Because you want the kids to love the Chiefs, you want the kids to have a great experience. It's funny because Coach John Holmes, who I work with now, he was at Family Fun Night when he was a little kid, about 10 years old. And he has the hat that I signed for him, and he showed it to me. He's like, it was one of the greatest days. I mean, so you just never know how you're going to affect people. I'm not just saying me. I'm talking to anybody. You can affect people positively or negatively. Mm-hmm. How many times, I'll never forget, my mom told me a story that, she took me and my brother, and she was standing outside of Wrigley Field, and a couple players walked by, and she asked for an autograph for the kids, and they walked by and snubbed her.
Yeah.
And she said, and she used to tell me all the time, don't ever do that, because that was a miserable fit experience for us. And then I will tell you, and it's in my book, so I will talk about Walter Payton. And I love Walter Payton, don't get me wrong. And it was a long day for him, and it was a long day for everybody waiting in line for his autograph at the Evergreen Park Mall in Evergreen Park in Chicago. And so we're walking up, and you're waiting in line for about an hour or two waiting for Walter Payton. When you get up there, all he did was basically sign it, didn't even look up, and just hand it to you, didn't look up. And I'll never forget saying, all I wanted to do is make eye contact with my hero. Mm-hmm. Walter Payton never looked at me. And when I walked away, I kind of was disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll never do that to anybody. I'll never do that. And I have tried. Maybe you caught me at a moment of weakness or at an off time. But I will promise you that 99% of the time, I'm at least going to look at you in the eye and sign it and say hello when I'm doing it. Because I learned my lesson from that. And so those are all part of the lessons you learn. But, yeah.
And we sort of got off the subject a little bit about staying in shape. And
right.
How much do you still worry about situations? I know you're always keeping an eye on yourself, and I know you haven't had a drink in 2 years, and you watch your diet, you're watching what you eat and the whole thing. But how much still does it worry you?
It worries the hell out of me. Okay. It really does. I mean, I go and get a blood test every 6 months with my doctor, and they look at all the numbers and look at everything, cholesterol and, PSA and all this kind of things. You know, listen, I have prostate cancer in my family. My father passed away. My brother had it. I try to take as many supplements. One of the things that I've done that I think has really helped me, and not only with American Shaman products, but taking supplements with the water solubles and everything that we get from them, the gummies, everything else that's in those, but also taking supplements, the like you do, I mean, vitamin C, vitamin D,
zinc,
all the amino acids.
B3.
I take a lot of different things for cholesterol that are, root based. I take a lot of things for blood pressure that are root based, CoQ10, all those things. I probably take 15 or 20 different supplements a day. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the game here, because you're right. You're never going to be able to cover all the bases, but you got to give yourself a half a fighting chance.
Yeah, right.
And, God forbid that, I wouldn't do something, or I would take some time off and be selfish to myself and not realize that my kids need me around, that they want their grandfather around. So, and it breaks my heart. Listen, I lost a dear, dear friend from Notre Dame, Dean Brown, who's a really good friend of mine with a blood clot. That he was a little bit overweight. I don't know what Tony passed away from, but he was a little bit overweight.
I looked up the story while you were talking a little bit, and they haven't said yet. So
he was a little bit overweight.
He
was a big guy. And the other thing, I said, he lived in Kenilworth, New Jersey, which is a neighboring town from Sarah, was in Cranford, New Jersey. So we used to, go and hang out a little bit back when I was playing. We said, hey, I'll meet you over at the sports bar. We'll have a couple of beers. Or
during the summer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we were good friends. So it was a tough, tough deal. And it's happening more and more. And I'm just telling everybody out there, listen, I'm not saying that you have to stop drinking. I'm not saying that, but at least, mix in some cardio, mix in some workouts, mix in, get your walking going, try to eat right, try to give yourself a half a chance to battle it.
I used to run all the time. I don't run anymore, but I walk every day. And I really stay after it that way. And that's the way I get in shape for the mountains, too. But here's the only thing I'll tell anybody out there that can, because a lot of people have problems with their lower extremities. They have a foot problem, an ankle problem, knee problem, calf problem, thigh problem, hip problem, whatever. I understand, okay? And the best thing you can do is probably go get those things taken care of. If you need a new knee, if you're covered medically, it's a great idea, because I'm going to tell you, you got to get off the couch. Somehow, some way, you got to get off the couch.
Try some of the products from American Shaman, too.
Yeah, get rid of some of that pain. If you have pain in your feet, you bet. Rub it on your knee, ankle, wherever you got it. I rub it on my back before I play golf. Rub it on my hands before I play golf.
Do us a favor, everybody out there. If you're a guy that say, listen, I got to mix in maybe some cardio, maybe walk a mile or two a day, but boy, I just have some pain in my knees. I have pains in my hip and my back. Just try this product. I'm telling you, just go and try it. If it doesn't work, bring it back. They'll pay for it back.
Right.
They'll give you your money back. What can you lose? Don't be intimidated. Don't think it's, because you and I were skeptics, big time. Oh, I was a skeptic.
And Vince Hunter's told us, and so did Jamie. We love skeptics.
Yeah.
They're the first. We love skeptics.
Yeah.
Because we just want to show you the product really works.
So. Absolutely. All right, guys, when we get back here, we'll talk a little bit about the Chiefs are taking a little bit of a deep breath right now. OTAs are done. Mini camp is done. The draft is done. Most of the free agency is done. We'll take a look at some of the guys on the roster and what the battles are and whether you think the Chiefs are a little bit limited. We'll kind of go through some of the positions and talk a little bit about what we expect in training camp.
By the way, don't forget, you need training camp reservations. Only three of the days will cost you. It costs like $5, I think, on three of the days.
Mm-hmm.
Fun day, family fun day, There's two other days where they have the autograph sessions and all that sort of thing. Otherwise, it's free, but you need a reservation to go or they won't let you in. Okay, so.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. Security now. And just
capacity, the whole thing.
Right, absolutely. So, yeah. You can go online at that? Is that how you
do it? Yeah, and anybody can do it now. I think yesterday was for season ticket holders, and today it opened up for everybody.
Absolutely. And that's the great thing about having it in St. Joe. You know, you can leave Kansas City here, drive about 45 minutes to an hour north, and you could be there. It's not like River Falls when you had to drive eight, nine hours. I loved it, too, up there. But, you know, it was a vacation for you guys.
Oh, we loved it. We loved that place.
I know you did. You're listening to
Crunch Time.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunert and Frank Bull. We appreciate you guys listening on a Wednesday. Tomorrow is the NBA draft, and 810 WHB will be covering the draft pretty much from right after Sarin's show
until it's over. It's only one day, right, Rudy? It's only one that night, correct. Right? It's only the two rounds. Yeah, okay.
So, that'll be tomorrow night. So we want to thank our great sponsor, CBD American Shaman. Awesome stuff. Go right now, 30% off all products at all stores. Just go in there and say, hey, we heard on Crunch Time, we get 30% off, and they will take care of you. And if you have any questions about anything, don't hesitate. Don't be intimidated. Just go in, say hello, say, you know, I've had this going on or that going on. What can you give me? And I promise you, this stuff works. Give it a shot.
Right. Ditto.
Ditto. All right, guys. Well, listen, the OTAs are officially done. So the Chiefs have kind of gotten through the off-season part of their schedule. You know, the OTAs are gone. The mini camp is gone. They did the draft. They went through the free agency. The rookies have been in. Everybody has been in. Next thing, it'll be in training camp, which is in a couple weeks. You know, they have about 3 weeks off, I think.
I think it's 49 days from today, something like that. Yeah. 50 days, or I forget the exact opening, but it's right in there. It's just over. It's not that far. It'll be here before you know it.
Right, and all that means is that there's no official stuff. I mean, the guys are over there working out. Hopefully. I mean, they're not. Yes. Yeah, they're over there working out, and if they're not working out over at the Arrowhead facility, then they're working out at home. But
and Patrick Mahomes said he will have some more sessions down in Texas for his wide receiver and tight end core. So that's always good to know. So he's going to try to keep those guys up to speed because they didn't want him to forget everything from when they did the pre-OTA stuff down in Texas with him. And then they went to OTAs and did all their stuff in the mandatory minicamp. They didn't want them to forget from then until the preseason practice opens up in St. Joe. So he's staying after him pretty good.
All right, so let's talk about the wide receivers since you brought him up. Right now, Valdez Scantlin, Mecole Hardman are kind of the speed guys. Juju Smith-Schuster, Sky Moore are kind of the possession guys. Josh Gordon and Ross and Powell are kind of the wild cards. They can kind of do a little bit of both. So they're going to keep 7 or 8 of those guys. I mean, there may be somebody else who will slide in there, but I have Scantlin. I got Hardman. That's 2. Smith-Schuster, that's 3. Sky Moore, that's 4. Josh Gordon is 5. Ross and Powell is 6, 7. So I'm sure that they'll add some other guys because of special teams.
Ross might not. He's coming off injury, so we don't know how close to 100% he's going to be. Everybody likes him as sort of that wild card. He's like that sexy guy right now during the offseason. So we'll just have to see how that works out. But I think the main guys in the rotation are going to be Juju and MVS and Mecole Hardman. I think this is Mecole Hardman's contract year. So he has a lot to prove if he wants to make some big money going forward. He's got a perfect time to do it. I mean, this is the time to rise up. Tyreek's gone. There's no excuses anymore for any of these guys. Okay, Travis Kelce is still going to get his targets. Then they're going to be spread out amongst those three guys mostly at this point.
How many catches? I'm predicting Sky Moore will have about 25 to 30 catches.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to be wide receiver number one. Now, they could rotate Juju and MVS and Mecole Hardman into that, not rotate him in out time, but rotate that guy into Tyreek Hill's position where he's going to get a lot more targets. But they're going to have to prove it as they go along, or Mahomes isn't going to get him the football.
Yeah,
and Mecole Hardman is the most – he's the guy who knows the offense best. He knows Mahomes the best. And he just knows what Tyreek Hill did and how it benefited him. And if he's not looking at that, then he's – He's crazy.
You know, people got a little upset that Juju Smith-Schuster said that he'd like to finish his career in Pittsburgh.
Okay. Tyreek Hill would probably like to finish his thing in Kansas City, which he isn't going to do now after being on the podcast last couple of times. But, yeah, guys do that all the time. Right. So it's just Juju said he'd like to go back someday. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Pittsburgh wants him back someday.
Right. So I don't have any issue with that.
He's on a one-year contract.
Yeah, give us 3 or 4 years of some quality wide receiver catches here in Kansas City. He can go anywhere he wants.
Give me 1 year. Give me one great year, Juju. I don't care. And then you can go back to Pittsburgh. Be great for the Chiefs this year. And if you want to go back to Pittsburgh, go ahead. Or maybe the Chiefs will sign you to a longer-term deal.
So feel good, feel apprehensive, worried about the wide receivers?
I think they're fine.
I do, too.
As long as they have the kid playing quarterback, I think they're going to be fine. Defense is going to have to adjust differently now. The too high, they probably don't need to do the too high anymore. Although everybody says, well, MVS is really fast and McCall. I said, they're not Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Okay, because not only was Tyreek fast, but Tyreek really learned how to play the position. And that was really important for him. And not that the other guys don't know how to play the position. I'm just saying, not only was he just one of the fastest players in the NFL, but he learned how to run the routes and do the whole thing. So,
for all you golf fans, moving day is Saturday during the Masters or the U.S. Open
Any
or the
tournament?
British Open. Yeah, it's kind of, they call it moving day. Well, this is moving year for Mecole Hardman. This is it. Either he's going to move and become that receiver that we all hope he can be, or he's going to ship out. Simple as that. This is moving year for Mecole Hardman. So the tight ends, I mean, listen, they're going to probably keep three. You have Travis Kelce, you have Bell, and then you have Gray, and then you have Forston. So one of those guys may not be around. Which one are you thinking that may not be around?
They might keep them all. They might, for special teams purposes. You better cross your fingers. Nothing happens to Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do, Chiefs fans. Because if he goes down, Serena and I were talking about this today. We're comparing Gronk to Travis Kelce, who's the better tight end. Boom. Serena gives a little bit to Gronk at the moment.
Yeah,
I think Travis is a better tight end. Gronk has been injured a lot, but Gronk threw his body out there and he was a blocker. He was a hell of a blocker. And, so he got banged up a lot playing football. The Chiefs offense just doesn't need a tight end to do that sort of thing. So Travis never had to he has to block sometimes.
Yeah.
But
he gets in the way.
And he gets in the way. He gets downfield. If you got the running backs doing whatever. But if Gronk goes down,
Travis,
that's trouble.
If Kelce.
I'm sorry. If Kelce goes down, they're in trouble.
Yeah, and
they're in big trouble.
So you have the wide receivers and the tight ends as the guys that Mahomes is going to be looking for down the field and throwing the ball to. You feel pretty good with those groups.
I feel with Travis Kelce alone, okay, one tight end, and then that receiving group is just fine.
All right, let's go to the running backs then. We're not even going to talk about the quarterbacks. We know how you feel about the quarterback. Unless you have some kind of...
Well, I made him better the whole time he was here.
Yeah,
I made him better. Yeah, and I made Kelce better too.
You have made him better.
I did.
I
made
him
better.
Yeah,
and he's great.
You're kind of that football whisperer.
I was. Yeah, sure.
let's go.
Hey, did you hear Tyreek Hill's getting death threats from his podcast about what he said about Patrick Mahomes? I mean, that's over the top. Fans, relax, will you? Good Lord, don't worry about Tyreek Hill.
Did he say that, or did we see that?
No. He said it. Tyreek said it. Okay. So there's just an article just came up.
Once away, don't let the facts get away of some stories.
No, I have a podcast to do. I want to talk about
it. Yeah, and now people are saying, oh, well, I got to listen to that.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Okay, but go. We digress.
All right, running backs. You have Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Ronald Jones. You have McKinnon, who they just signed.
Re-signed Jarrett McKinnon.
They keep four, usually. Mm-hmm. So will Derek Gore, the Isaac Pacheco, or that's about it. I'm not even going to bring up any other guy.
Yeah.
So which one of those two? Will Gore hang
in? I think Gore.
In?
I think it's Gore for me.
And you think they'll probably keep that kid on the practice squad, the running back from Rutgers?
Yeah, it could. Yep.
I don't even know how to say his name. Pacheco or Pacheco? He's from Rutgers. He was one of the fastest running backs in the combine. Right. He's a heck of a
He'll be one of those guys at camp. It's going to stick out, and he's going to be everybody's favorite player. And then
the
last cut, he's
going to
go.
Who is the one guy?
The guy, he was from right down the street. He played at, gosh, Rudy, help me out here.
You're not the Emporia State guy. Is that who you're talking about?
Might have been the Emporia State.
No, you're talking about
Pittsburgh State or something.
No, there was one guy from Emporia State, a running back that went
out. Oh, he tore up camp. Yeah. He was the camp darling, yeah. I like the running back room's fine.
I think Ronald Jones is a good pickup.
You know what is going. I think Jarrett McKinnon's a great pickup.
I'm glad
you
they
know
have him.
What is going to make the offensive backfield go. It's going to be the offensive line.
All right, well, okay. Let's talk about those guys then.
Brian Shea, is that the name?
Brian Shea.
There it is. That is it. Thank you very much,
Emporia
Rudy.
Emporia State, right?
Yep, Emporia State.
There you go.
Told you. Right down the street. Squad, then went to the Berlin Thunder, and then a year with the Orlando Rage.
There you go.
How about that?
All right, let's talk about that offensive line. You got Brown, you got Tooney.
Who did you say?
He's going to be.
Who? Your left tackle, who?
Brown, Tooney, Humphreys, Smith, Wiley at the starters.
Yeah.
Allegretti, Niang, he's healthy.
Okay.
Austin Ryder and Kennard from Kentucky.
That's
10. That's where they're only going to keep 10.
That's plenty.
That might be, let's see, is that 10? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 9. They'll keep one more guy. I don't know who it's going to be. There'll be a guy.
It might be a guy playing right tackle.
That might be a guy.
They bring somebody off the street.
That's right.
See Eric Fisher pop up here again.
Absolutely. Thoughts on the offensive line?
Trouble. I don't know what Orlando Brown's going to do. Yeah. If Orlando Brown decides
to
sit,
it's big time trouble.
They're really in big trouble. I don't want to see him start messing around with the guards, moving them out to tackle. I don't want to see Trey Smith or Tooney moving to tackle, and then you've got to fill these other guys in at guard. I hate that idea. Now, if Brown signs, I heard some guys talking about this. They think he'll sign a contract between 3 and 5 years. Remember, he is only... How old is he? 24?
He's pretty
25?
Young. Yeah.
He's still pretty young. Yeah. So 3 or 4 year contract, which would keep him under the age of 30 by the time the contract's up. But they said it'd be between $20 and $21 million per year. He is not worth the $25 million a year
that
Trent Williams is getting.
I'm just gonna tell you something right now, and I got it from a good source. The Chiefs are not gonna pay him like a top left tackle. It's not going to happen. So, Orlando, if you're listening, it's not going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean he's not going to get paid good money, like $20, $21 million. That's a lot of money. That's really good money.
It's a lot of money.
But he's not going to get paid like the best left tackles in the league.
Right, because he's not.
He's not.
But he's the best the Chiefs have.
Well, by far. So, I mean,
okay.
all indications are that he's going to be in. They're going to get it done.
Okay.
And I got that from the horse's mouth.
And so Saran and I were talking about this.
Not Orlando Brown's mouth.
Speaking of Saran, he just sent me a text saying the other guy, he went to Jesse Haynes.
Jesse Haynes.
Saran, we love you. That is great. Saran, by the way, is driving to Wichita right now picking up his daughter. Yeah.
We'll entertain him for another 20 minutes.
Northwest Missouri State.
There we go. He's absolutely right.
And I think Holmes actually had my autograph and Jesse Haynes on those.
Very appropriate for that hat.
John,
if you're
listening, tweet that out. Tweet a picture of that hat.
Yeah, and Saran and I talked about this today, too. He said, give me a guy on offense, a guy on defense, or not even a guy, but a position that you're already worried about. My biggest worry, assuming Orlando Brown is the left tackle and signs and does his thing, and he's happy, doesn't sit out and does all that. I said, my biggest question mark on offense is right tackle.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest
question. I think the inside right now for the Chiefs are as good as anybody. As good as anybody. And they'll be okay.
That's why I don't want to move them around.
Oh, no. John just texted me. It was Trevor Cobb, who is the camp darling.
No, it was Trevor Cobb.
I don't know.
I missed that camp darling. I don't think I interviewed Trevor Cobb.
So left tackle. They'll be fine if he comes in. But listen, you know, he's like I said, man, he's just a bit of a waistbender. He uses his length and he gets away with it at times, but you're not going to do that consistently in the NFL at the left tackle position if you're not using proper technique and you're just a little too top heavy and you're bending a little bit and you're out of position, they're going to get you. And he did better as the season went on, and hopefully he'll be able to carry that over and even start out even better than he was last year at the end of the year, but we'll see. So I agree with you. I think the tackle position, Orlando Brown not being signed, is a worry. And Andrew Wiley, I think Andrew Wiley is a fine football player. I just don't know if he's the answer at right tackle for the whole year.
For the whole every down?
Yeah, no, I just don't.
And remember, these guys are out there to protect their most valuable commodity at quarterback.
So quarterback, there we go. You don't want to talk about quarterback, do you?
No, he's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, he's fine.
Yeah, we'll just pray he doesn't go down either.
Yeah, all right.
Now,
so,
and that brings us back to the offensive line.
So let's
and
go.
The two tackles.
Let's go across to the defensive line. They're probably going to keep eight of these guys: Karloftis, Nadi, Jones, Clark, Dana, Wharton, Kando, and Saunders.
Right.
Any worries?
Yeah. Both edges, okay?
Kind of like on the offensive line.
Because we don't know what Karloftis is going to do. There's a lot of hope for that kid.
Sure.
He's a big motor.
He's a rookie.
He's great. He's a rookie. We'll see how it goes stepping up from college to the pros, in 1 year. And, he played at a Power 5 school at Purdue, and that's fine. But he's gonna go up against some guys that are, seasoned professionals, and we'll just see how he matures into the position. But you're going to need to – Clark hasn't done squat. So, to me, there's both edges, to me, are sort of scary not having a pass rush, period.
Yeah.
And if you're going to rely just on Chris Jones in the middle, and those guys aren't worried about the guys outside, they'll just double team Jones and not worry about.
And
it.
Then this Kando guy from Florida State. When's he going to show
know.
Up?
I mean,
there's a guy that this is a big camp for him. Also a big camp, I think.
It's a big camp for almost all the guys on defense.
And Dana is another guy that he's got to step up and bring his game to another level because they're going to need him at another level.
Right. They have a lot of young players. On defense, are going to have to step up and play big time.
Absolutely. And if you know, let's go to the safeties. You want to talk about young players? You got Reed, Thornhill, you got Cook from Cincinnati, and Bush. You got those four guys.
Yeah.
Those are probably the four safeties they'll keep. Now, maybe they may keep another one. I don't.
Special teams.
Yeah, for special teams. But I like Reed. I think Reed's a good football player.
Yes.
Thornhill, when he's healthy, and I thought towards the end of the year last year, he started playing better.
Yep.
I thought he started getting, it takes a little time to get over some of those lower body injuries. And then Cook, I really liked him at Cincinnati. That kid was a heck of a football player. So I think they got three pretty solid safeties.
Yeah, I think they're fine. I think that rotation will be fine. Now you got to worry about cornerback, though.
Let's go to
now you get some young guys.
Let's talk about corner. You got Legarius Sneed. You got Rashad Fenton. You got Trent McDuffie. Spags likes to keep five or six because of special teams. Mm-hmm. So you have all these young guys. You got Joshua Williams. You got Jalen Watson. You have a guy they traded for from the Texans who was a second-rounder just recently, and Lonnie Johnson. And then you have DeAndre Baker. Those are your guys.
Some
and
question
then,
marks.
And then Saran, gosh, I'm drawing a blank on the guy. They just signed that guy that got in trouble in Vegas.
No, they got rid of him then.
No, I think they just re-signed him.
They did not.
So we just talked about it on Saran's show. Saran's probably driving off the road right now.
Saran, do not. Text
do not
and drive.
Text anymore. We'll figure
okay.
it out.
We'll figure it out.
But
Rudy, do you remember who was the kid they got?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
He was involved.
He was involved in that
safety.
Whole. Yeah, and it was he a safety?
Yes.
So maybe that's why it's not the corner position.
Or a defensive back in general. I guess it's possible he played both.
Yeah, I don't know. But he found himself in some issues in Las Vegas with. With the deal with Kamara. Certain other chief that is not a
he
chief
was along.
Anymore.
He was there.
Yeah.
In what capacity or how?
So I guess the Chiefs have come to the conclusion. To the conclusion now that he's going to be cleared because they re-signed him. All right, so the cornerback
Chris
position.
Chris Lammons.
Lammons.
That's it.
Yeah.
Is he still there?
Yeah,
the
they just
still?
Re-signed him.
Yeah, okay. Pro All Football right. Talk Chiefs re-signed Chris Lammons. That's CBS Sports.
Okay, I missed that.
I missed that too.
Yeah, I missed it. Okay.
So
I just wrote him off.
Let's go to linebacker. Wow, you got Willie Gay, you got Nick Bolton, you got Leo Chanel. I guess that's how you say his name.
Don't worry about
Chanel.
The linebackers. No, Chanel.
Chanel?
Mm-hmm.
They keep five or six because of special teams.
I think their linebacker corps is going to be really good.
Yeah.
Like Bolton Gay. I mean, that's.
They just signed. The Chiefs picked up a Carolina Panther guy and Jermaine, I think it's Carter, who was a starter there for Carolina. So he played a little bit of Mike Backer. So did the Mike Rose. They just signed as a free agent. And then Elijah Lee, K-State guy. I think they have a heck of a linebacker crew. This is completely different than it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Remember, you and I
would be like, oh, my God, the linebackers.
Terrible. Well,
couldn't cover anybody out of the backfield. The tight ends were killing
them. They always had Dan Sorensen running around out there.
Dirty Dan.
Poor Dan.
You got to put the hammer down, Dan.
He was a whipping boy, that's for sure.
Dirty Dan, put the hammer down.
We knew exactly who he was because his back was always chasing somebody down the field.
Frank, put the hammer down and... You've been listening to Crunch Time.
You're obsessed.
All right.
You are.
I am obsessed. Okay. Welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grant and Frank Ball. Frank,
World Cup.
Congratulations to the Kansas City area for getting the World Cup.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
I think it's incredible. I think it's really
I guess the people in Denver are just smoking hot.
They're so mad. So is Nashville. Nashville's ticked. Now, Cincinnati wasn't. They had no chance.
No. They're building that new stadium there.
I know they are. But that stadium wouldn't be big enough for the World Cup deal. Now, Chiefs are going to have to make some renovations at Arrowhead, and they're going to talk about
Is anybody here, when's the last time you were in Nashville?
It's been a while for me. The last time was when the Chiefs
played. It's a disaster in Nashville. A absolute disaster. I love Nashville. I love the country music. I love the food. Downtown is beautiful. But you can't get around that city. Their infrastructure is so screwed up for all the people that have moved there.
Yeah, everybody's
millions of people have moved there, and the streets and the highways and the interstates are all the same, and it is a crap show. And I'd like to use the other word.
Yeah, I know.
Can't.
Yeah,
and why the heck would anybody want to go there and deal with all that crap?
No, well, obviously they're not going. But you also have to remember too, a lot of cities dropped out. Montreal dropped out. Phoenix dropped out. Chicago dropped out. They just didn't want to deal with FIFA and do the whole thing. But I think
it's going to cost us some money.
I think it's great for the Kansas City area, and they rolled out the carpet. Of course, it cost you money. It's FIFA. They're one of the most crooked
Kansas City sports organizations
in the world.
Kansas City's got the worst. Kansas City's got some fun things on the rise. We got the draft coming up, and then we have World Cup.
Well, you got the airport. The airport's coming. That's one of the reasons they're doing a draft. I think they have it in the back of mind also for the World Cup.
So talk to us about how much it's going to cost and who's paying for it. Are you paying
million
for it?
I'm not paying for it. One dime. Well, that's a lie. $50 million for the renovations ahead of the World Cup.
What are they doing?
They're going to have to take out some corners. They're going to have to take out some seats.
They're cutting some corners?
They're cutting some corners into the end of the stadium there. And they want to have an entertainment village surrounding the stadium during the World Cup when it's here. It'll be here. It depends on when they get games. But I think World Cup goes for between 4 and 5 weeks takes to play all those games because it's going to be expanded at that time.
Can we get Brazil here, please?
How many people here? Oh, boy, that'd be fun.
Yes.
You know, you might get Brazil.
Please.
You might get Mexico here.
Brazil.
Yeah.
The women from Brazil coming into Kansas City. Are you kidding me? That's all I know.
Hey, listen, girl from Ipanema.
I can read the menu. I just can't order, Frank.
Girl from Ipanema. That's it.
All right.
There you go. How's that?
I hope Sarah's not listening to this.
She never
listens anyway.
Okay,
so.
Well, there you go. But but they're going to have to make some renovations. They're going to have to do some stuff. They're going to put a little entertainment village out there as well. Maybe they're preparing for the Royals to go downtown by that time and be out of there. Maybe they'll even knock down the K by that time. Who knows?
Wow.
Be interesting to see what happens.
Frank, I like the way you think,
Frank. A lot
of
things can happen between now and 2026.
A lot of things can happen between now and training camp. Be careful out there, NFL players.
That's it. Stay out of jail.
Be good. Be good.
Coach's worst nightmare.
That's right. If you think it's wrong, it probably is. So then don't do it.
Probably. It leaves the door open.
All right, guys. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to
Crunch Time.